Again, grace and peace to you on behalf of Lutheran Campus Ministry in St. Louis. I bring you greetings from our community, those of love and gratitude, for the ways in which your congregation continues to support and sustain our mission with students in the St. Louis area. Advent is our season of waiting and preparation, right? But in my world, in our campus world, which I know many of you are on the academic calendar as well, summertime is actually, right, the season of waiting and preparation. And so sometimes that means we take all of our vacation and it's easy to lounge a little bit. But anyone that's ever been on the academic calendar knows if you aren't ready when fall comes, well, things are tough that first week of work. That first week of school. And so as much as we'd like to be like the bears who hibernate in winter, we must always be in this season of preparation. That's why, as I know Roger Ruff has been sharing on behalf of our community how we're remodeling our house to get it ready for what we say the next 100 years. Our old 100-year house has never had a renovation, so we're fixing the foundation literally so that the foundation will be solid for the next generation, that there will be more space at our dinner table and around our worshiping time. For all of us, God calls us to be awake, even when it's hot and humid, literally and metaphorically in our lives, for our eyes and ears and minds and hearts to be open and attuned to the presence of God all around us. It's easy to get tunnel vision, isn't it, in so many ways, to block out the wonder and mystery of the world and to notice that God is already there. Too often you and I sleep while God is performing miracles right before our eyes when we get too concerned with some kind of trivia or preoccupations. It's also hard when our hearts bleed. We know that there is so much pain and hurt and hate in this world. So the brokenness that's all around us, if we took on all of that, we literally would be crushed under the weight. From Syria to the Sudan, from Ferguson to local tragedies, to death in this own community, we would be crushed under that weight. And so sometimes we become a little insensitive, don't we? Or we just toughen up to the vastness of the evil around us. And we become complacent to the tragedy of the world. When our worlds become safe, we are thankful that it's not about us. And sometimes we do become apathetic to the elderly and the hungry, the widow and the sick, the homeless and the refugees. I don't know if any of you were watching the opening ceremonies on Friday night, but it was a beautiful celebration, right, of the entire globe, the best of the world. And then you kind of sucked in a breath when we got to the very end and the refugee Olympic team walked out. Those who are still competing, though there is traumatic strife in their countries. And let's be honest, they may have no hope of ever winning a gold, but is that the point? Wow. I don't know about you, but something hitched in my heart, recognizing what is bigger about our humanity in those moments. Beyond the turbulence that is around us, our gospel beckons us to be alert. What does it take for us to be aware, attuned to the miraculous wonder of the gospel around us, to live in a state of readiness, not to bring on anxiety so that we may be prepared with stockrooms of toilet paper and dry goods for some kind of catastrophe, but rather the hospitality of the heart to be ready to embrace our neighbor in their hurt when the unexpected hits. Are we withholding forgiveness? Are ours blind to someone who is in need in our immediate sphere? Or do we think that preparing for Jesus is about the next generation, not for us? I spend my days immersed in a backpack culture. You may or may not be a part of this as well. And even if you yourself are not, you certainly notice that nearly every person age 5 to 25 in our entire society carries a backpack every day. It begins at a very young age, right? Probably with the kids that were gathered here today. My nephew comes home and I open up and notice he has farm animals and pipe cleaners and some Rogue Cheerios and an occasional note from his teacher that says things like, Hugo refuses to remove his fire boots, right? There's all kinds of funny things that start out in our backpacks. But the opposite end of the spectrum is the students that I deal with that are at the end of their backpack journey, if you will, and they just get heavier and heavier. Only a fraction of my students have cars, and so they carry around these very heavy 20, 30, 50-pound bags everywhere you go. Have you ever seen an organic chemistry textbook? Like, it's a brick, a tome. I thought some of my theological books were heavy, but no. The sciences really take it seriously, right? This becomes a space problem in our campus house when 30 or so students arrive with these monstrous backpacks, especially in wintertime when they also have boots and jackets. There's literally not enough space in the hallway to accommodate all of this stuff. It rolls over into the living room and even into the kitchen. Sometimes we begin stacking them like a stone wall, right? I can't tell you what it means to them to have a space for them to safely set down this bag. Our LCM house, our community, our church is different than a library, a coffee shop, or even their dorm, though we do have plenty of books and coffee and comfy couches and friends. Because it literally is a safe place for them to set down that heavy bag, that weight, and remember their worth is outside of that. There's not many of us that get to feel that on a daily basis, right? Because we carry around the weight of our professions, of our responsibilities, of our family, of our neighbors. And how often do we remember that God doesn't require anything of us? That all the love, all the grace has been given to us in a most abundant way. And our theology of the cross means that God meets us in the broken places, not in the perfection of what we will achieve. I plan to share a different story about our community, but thinking about the Rook family, I thought I wanted to share our most personal story of what's happening in our community this summer. Yes, we've got this building remodel, and yes, we've been working in North St. Louis on this inner city program that I'd love to tell you about, but the thing that's most intimate to us is that one of our students has been diagnosed with stage 4 osteosarcoma. So I'd like to share the story of Chris and Olivia. Both of them are WashU engineering students, class of 2018, and that is the only thing that they have in common. Chris is in ROTC. He rows crew. He's very proud that he, after so-and-so graduated, that he now drives the biggest truck on campus. Yes, he's from Texas. He spent his high school on a boat. His family sailed around the world, so he did high school by correspondence. And Olivia, on the other side of the spectrum, in tandem with engineering, is also a women in gender studies double major. She is doing her summer internship at Planned Parenthood and marches in every protest that happens in a 100-mile radius. And these two, when they came to our community, I thought, oh boy, we are going to have fireworks, right? And they literally started at opposite ends of our dining tables. We usually have two or three tables put together. And then they would go closer and they'd spar at different times. And there have been quite some big fireworks over the years. And yet, they have grown to love and respect and appreciate each other. And they never would have been friends without our community, without recognizing that there's space at the table for both of them on far opposite ends of the spectrum in every conceivable way. But when we meet at the table, literally the dinner table, but also this table, because we break bread and share wine every single time that we gather, that we are all in the family of God. And God calls us to love and cherish one another. So about a week after school got out, Chris was still in town because he was, they have summer crew, and he was preparing for their big national tournament, and he had been having trouble with his leg for a while, and they just kept saying, oh, it's a shin splint or it's something like that. And he went to yet another doctor and got this awful diagnosis. So in 48 hours, he went from having his first apartment, living with his buddies for the summer. You know, he's got that big truck. Big things are happening here. And it was going to be a great summer, to now going home to Houston, being treated at MD Anderson, where he can't drive or even walk without assistance. And Olivia is staying for the summer, and she has been the one that has rallied the rest of our community, the ones that are in St. Louis and those are across the country, to continue to send him notes. They made a blanket for him to have during chemotherapy. Again and again, these two that have nothing in common really accept their connection in the body of Christ. They were ready for one another. And I think I learned something powerful in that moment, watching the ways in which that they have reached out and supported each other, because it has definitely gone both ways. We all need to be ready. And that first means we need to be in relationship with our neighbor. It's hard to be in solidarity with Ferguson if you don't know anyone that lives north of Delmar, right? It's hard to speak out against Islamophobia if you don't know anyone of the Muslim faith. And so God is calling us to recognize the humanity and to recognize the fullness of the family of God is dependent on the reconciliation and connection of all of us. That when there is distance and brokenness and fracture and hate and violence and senseless crime, that is not how God desires us to live. And so what does it mean for you to be ready? Which relationships do you need to repair in your life? Or who is absent from your life, from your sphere? I hope that as families and as a faith community, that you would find ways to be ready to be the body of Christ, because our world is hurting and curious and full of questions at every turn. And I think God has something to say about all of those things, be them celebrations or deep, deep tragedies. The story of the world, especially in the United States, so often is about perfection, about achievement, about keeping up with the Joneses, with the neighbors, and about success. And our story is about losing life. It's about losing those earthly things that are most important to us in order to find a heavenly reward and a heavenly meaning. And there are ways in which God is calling us to live that heaven here on earth. Reconciliation is not just for the next life. It's for this one as well, which is why we share the peace every time we gather, right? To reconcile and to be whole again. I deeply thank you for the ways in which that your congregation invests in campus ministry so that we can continue to be this kind of community on our college campuses. All are welcome in our community, of course, and I love that you have a special connection to Webster, and I hope that that continues to grow and multiply in the years to come, because I can guarantee that there are students hungry for our community in this place, in every place, because this is what it is to live in this world. Don't we all need someone to help share the weight of our backpacks, share the weight that we need to set down? Be ready, dear ones, for whatever may happen. May you know that God and the community of God is with you on the journey. Amen.